Welcome to UN Gender Focus. I'm Deanne Penn at United Nations Headquarters in New York. Coming up in this week's program, why justice is key to sustainable development in Afghanistan, and a call for more public awareness of the plight of children caught in armed conflict. But first, authorities in Honduras are being urged by UN human rights experts to do more to protect activists who defend the rights of sexual minorities in the Central American country. The joint appeal was sparked by the attempted murder in July of Osman David Valle Castillo, a prominent human rights defender of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and intersex or LGBTI community. The attack happened several months after Mr. Castillo had requested protection for his organization and its members. I spoke to Vitit Munteborn, who's the first ever UN independent expert on protection against violence and discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity.
There's a pattern of attacks on not only LGBT people, but also human rights defenders dealing with LGBT globally on many fronts. And in regard to the case that we're citing now, this is to do with Honduras, and a variety of UN special procedures monitors, including myself, issued a statement of concern calling for attention and action against the violence committed against human rights defenders, particularly in this case, Mr. Castillo, who was stabbed several times.
Speaking about Honduras in particular, what would you say is the status of the LGBT community and also those who defend them? Is it a place that's not very safe?
I would say that much depends on the context. You have to look at different regions, different countries. But as I said, there is a pattern of violence and violations committed against LGBT as well as human rights defenders. And certainly we have acted in regard to cases on Central South America, Central Asia, and other cases together. The issue is to be vigilant and not to be complacent. While the ground situation varies from quite an open, liberal situation to a rather draconian situation of violence and discrimination.
What specifically are you and the other experts calling on? Are you requesting any particular action from the government?
One underlying issue is the impunity factor, where cases accumulate and there's no real resolution and there's no real apprehension and inculpation of the culprits, so to speak, or the alleged culprits. A major concern for the UN is the issue of impunity. Secondly, the issue of effective investigations as well as remedies, reparation for the victims. And in this case, concerning Honduras, which is a public case, what we have received as information is that the prosecutor is now undertaking investigations. And we would encourage effective investigations that will lead to accountability to overcome any implication of impunity, as well as reparation and remedy for the victims, together with preventive strategy in terms of building a law enforcement environment which is empathetic towards LGBTI people.
Without justice, there can be no sustainable peace or development in Afghanistan. That's according to Seema Samir, a former minister of women's affairs in the country who was at UN headquarters recently to talk about the whole issue of judicial rights. She currently chairs Afghanistan's Independent Human Rights Commission, and although she says there's a long way to go, she points to major strides the nation has made in improving the rights of women. Ms. Samir spoke to Liz Gafidi about what has been done to integrate women and girls back into society since the fall of the extremist Taliban government in 2002.
After the fall of the Taliban regime, we have achieved a lot in terms of human rights and women rights particularly. In terms of participation of women, we have 4 women ministers, 10 female deputy ministers, 25% of the parliament. We have female judges, female prosecutors, we have female singers, we have female in the media, in the sports, everywhere. But it doesn't mean that every woman in the country is able to exercise their basic human rights or equal rights, which is guaranteed in the Constitution.
What laws does Afghanistan have to protect women?
We do have elimination of violence against women law in the country, which was signed by a decree by the president in 2009. We're still trying to pass it through parliament, which for the first time criminalized domestic violence in Afghanistan. and also criminalized any other act of sexual assault, selling women, forced prostitution, forced labor, and so on. And this is a big achievement.
It's one thing to have the laws, but then executing this be a little difficult.
Well, I think it is difficult because in a country like Afghanistan, where we had conflict for 40 years, we need to build the institution to take the responsibility and can be responsive to the need of the people. But I think we are in a good path, but it is really a long way to reach justice. Without justice, we cannot have sustainable peace, we cannot have sustainable development. So justice and building the justice institution and facilitating access to justice for everyone is key to achieve sustainable development goal and to respect the human dignity.
And what about girls' education?
Well, we do have quite a good number of girls going to school. It doesn't mean that every girl have access to education, either because of the lack of facilities of female teachers or lack of even toilets in the schools, the cultural barrier and the distance between the school and the girls. So it is still a problem. One-third of the girls do not have access to education.
Better understanding is needed of the UN's role championing children caught up in armed conflict and the work that the world body does to stop armed groups recruiting child soldiers. That's according to Virginia Gamba, who took up her post as Special Representative for Children in Armed Conflict just a few weeks ago. She praised the progress made by the UN so far in establishing a universal standard on child recruitment that, over 20 years, has become widely understood by governments and non-state actors alike. In an interview with UN News, she also spoke movingly about the charity worker who devoted her life to helping girls caught up in conflict, whose dying wish was that Ms. Gamba should continue working on their behalf. Ms. Gamba spoke to Christina Silvero.
I think fundamentally, 20 years ago, there were many governments that were unsure whether recruitment of children below the age of 18 was prohibited or not. Today, everybody knows it is prohibited. So one, I think we have a universal standard now that is widely understood, not just by governments, but by armed groups, that they are doing something prohibited.
What is it that you plan to bring in this position?
I want to continue upholding the importance of attribution and accountability that has always been with us. And I think, if anything, I want to strengthen this and reinforce this way the language we utilize, perhaps eliminate grey language, be much more direct, so that the lay people understand very well the text in our reports. I want to be more accessible, if you want, to people. But I also want to build on two areas where we have not had the time, the energy, or the capacity to engage more in the past. One of them is public awareness raising. On the other hand, my area of expertise is conflict and conflict dynamics, and I would be very interested in starting a lessons learned to see for 20 years work and 20 years worth of reports, how has the dynamic of the use of children in an abuse of children due to armed conflicts changed?
Was there any specific story or moment that impacted you?
Yes, it was a British woman, and I met her about 23 years ago or so, and she had just retired alone. She had never been married, had no children. She lived in South Africa, and she decided to spend her pension money assisting girls that had been abducted to become either child soldiers or prostitutes or serving the logistics of the Lord's Resistance Army at the time. And she used her money to go to Uganda. And at one point in time, she came to see me. I was in a very large research institute in South Africa. And she told me, listen, you don't know me. She hadn't finished her high school. And she felt that she lacked legitimacy to engage in this topic. So she wanted me to deal with this issue because she felt that she was nobody. I said, no, on the contrary, I gave her an office, I gave her a computer, I said, you will write your own book, we will help you. Just when the book was being published and she was able to see it, she had a terminal disease. And she came to see me, she explained that she was going to a home to die, basically, in South Africa. She died alone in South Africa. And when she died, I was with her. And she took me by the hand and she said, please, Virginia, look after my children. And I promised, and I never was able to do it until today, so I'm doing this for Liz.
You've been listening to UN Gender Focus from the United Nations in New York. I'm Deanne Penn.